In many and various ways, God spoke to our ancestors of old through the prophets, but now, in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son. Amen. Abram, or Avram, as John King would tell us if he were here, is the given name of the Old Testament patriarch we know better as Abraham. Avram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. The former name appears to have been given by his family, the latter bestowed by God. And it came late in life, after the birth of his first son Ishmael, and before the birth of his second son, who you probably know a little bit better, Isaac. Sarah, who bore Isaac, was Abraham's wife. Hagar was Sarah's handmaid, the mother of Ishmael. Since Sarah was the wife and Hagar a concubine, Isaac is the proper heir, and through him, the people of Israel trace their lineage back to Abraham. Most of you know, of course, that the question of lineage is much more complex than just that. The Quran reverses the importance of these two offspring of Abraham so that Ishmael is the primary descendant and Isaac secondary in importance. Hence, the Jewish and Muslims' scriptures disagree on most favored nation status. Moreover, after Sarah dies, Abraham hooks up with another concubine, Keturah, who bears him six additional children, all of whom are gifted by Abraham, even as they go off to settle in other parts of the Middle East. All of the children of Israel, of Abraham, rather, are prized by their father and treated to the benefits of his great wealth. No one gets left out, though not all are treated the same. Still, the story of Abraham has a lesson that Abraham cares for all of his children. It was a very complex series of relationships, and keeping all the different parts in balance was not an easy parental vocation, to say the least. The story of Abraham, then, reminds us of our common spiritual ancestry as Jews, Muslims, and Christians. For in today's second lessons from Hebrews, we are reminded that Abraham is also our spiritual ancestor as well. And in our frame of reverence, we often view Christianity as a Western religion, but that's a result of a historical accident. In fact, Christianity is more rooted in the cultures of the Middle East than in Western cultures. Our concepts of who God is and how we are related to God and one another are more of Eastern than Western, though to be true, they are really an amalgam of both Eastern and Western thought. Yet the basis for our religion is Judaism. So Abraham is also our forebearer, along with the Jews, and also the Muslims. It is this commonality of ancestry that might lead us to find a more common ground for our interfaith dealings with one another. It also reminds us that we are not so different from one another as it may have seemed, even after centuries of developing apart. Bruce Feiler and Karen Armstrong are two recent popular authors who have posited this commonality and have encouraged our three faiths to use Abraham as a touchstone to search for even more commonalities, and then to reach out beyond our three faiths to search for the commonalities that we share with other religions as well. This is not to say that we have to forsake the particularities of our own faith. Rather, I'm suggesting that we find in other faiths that which we can affirm and those things that we can learn from. Karen Armstrong, for instance, has suggested that nearly every religion has built into it a sense of compassion toward others. And that is certainly true of Christianity. It is at the core of today's gospel. Sell your possessions and give them to those who lack the basic necessities. What is this, if not compassion? Jesus is not encouraging some sort of new poverty. Rather, the purpose of concentrating on fewer possessions is to remind us that we really need to take the focus off ourselves and refocus our attentions on the welfare of others. In other words, we need to retrain our hearts to be compassionate towards others. And then there is an important spiritual principle at work here, too. It has to do with our salvation. You see, if we spend everything we earn on ourselves, what we're actually doing is saying that we are the most important thing in the universe, and that bumps God right out of His place. When we act selfishly, we not only ignore God's commandment to love neighbor, but we also put ourselves in the place of God, and we break the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." A wise pastor frequently reminded his congregation that unless our wallet is converted, then our heart really isn't converted either. If our wallet isn't converted, then our heart isn't converted either. But it's true, isn't it? We should put our money where our mouth is, and that's what Jesus is telling us today. But there is more to compassion, of course, than just money. Jesus is talking about the life of faith. All of the things that we interact with are interrelated. Love of neighbor, compassion for others, faith to listen to God, raising our eyes to look to the stars for the bountiful grace of God's mercy, lowering our gaze to see the minute blessings of God's loving kindness that comes to our very feet. We have been blessed here this summer to have been able to go out to Cheshire and Camp Lutherwood, far from the city lights, and stare deeply into the night sky. There before us, we saw the same stars that Abraham saw, reminding us that as God was with Abraham, counting his faith as righteousness, so also God counts our deepest yearnings for faith as righteousness as well. And we are also blessed to live so near the Pacific Ocean, whereas with Paul and Abraham, we can walk along the sands, get that between our toes. In fact, it gets everything, it gets into everything and shows up everywhere, even into places we thought were protected from its ubiquity. Sea sand is always a very finely granulated sand, too. And isn't that how God's compassion is toward us as well? It is so fine that it meets us as every step of the way, and then it comes home with us from the beach in our towels and our shoes and our cars and sometimes even in our ears and our picnic baskets. Like the sands of the beach, God's mercy just seems to be everywhere. Piles of the stuff, grace upon grace upon grace. You can't really get rid of it completely. So, have no fear, little flock. Yes, God is calling you to difficult things this day. He wants you to be ready. Be ready to show compassion to others at all times. He wants you to be prepared. Prepared to show His kingdom of mercy to others when they are in need. Just as He is. Completely faithful at all times, creating and recreating His kingdom's treasures for us and for all people. Grace, mercy, loving kindness, compassion. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.